Today I'll probe the politics of torture under the Bush White House, exploring the process which has led this administration to defy the international community in ways that may make this great nation a moral rogue state. This is a timely topic coinciding with the Supreme Court's deliberation, ongoing deliberation, in what may prove a landmark habeas corpus case of Hamdan v. Rumsfeld, with oral arguments last month and a decision due soon, probably in June. Under the current administration more broadly, this country seems to be undergoing an historic shift from the highly secretive tortures used by the Central Intelligence Agency during the Cold War to the open, even defiant use of coercive interrogation as a formal weapon in the arsenal of American power, acceptable to both U.S. courts and the American people. But before we can grasp the full significance of these changes, we need to plunge into the dark, the very dark past of this dismal, very dismal subject, both the origins of CIA psychological torture during the Cold War and its recent revival in our current war on terror. In April 2004, Americans were stunned when the CBS News 60 Minutes broadcast those now notorious photographs from Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison showing hooded Iraqis stripped naked while U.S. soldiers stood by smiling. As this scandal grabbed headlines around the globe, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld insisted that these abuses were, quote, perpetrated by a small number of U.S. military, whom New York Times columnist William Sapphire soon called creeps. These photos are not, however, snapshots of simple brutality or a breakdown in military discipline. These photos show CIA torture techniques that have metastasized like an undetected cancer inside the U.S. intelligence community over the past half century. If we read these photos carefully, we can see in them the genealogy, the lineage of CIA torture techniques from their origins in the 1950s to their present-day perfection. For example, that iconic photo of a hooded Iraqi with fake electrical wires hanging from his extended arms shows not the sadism of a few creeps, but instead the two key trademark of the CIA's psychological torture paradigm. The hood is for sensory disorientation. The arms are extended for self-inflicted pain. It's that simple. It's that obvious. Sadly, the Abu Ghraib scandal and its severe blow to America's international standing make it important, even imperative, for the citizens of this country to discuss torture, particularly that most persistent, that most problematic, and most distinctively American form of torture, psychological torture. So let's talk about torture, focusing on this American invention called psychological torture. For over 2,000 years, from ancient Rome's red-hot irons to medieval Europe's thumbscrews, rack, and wheel, anybody interrogated in a court of law could expect to suffer unspeakable tortures. For the last 200 years, humanist intellectuals from Voltaire to Amnesty International have led a sustained campaign against the horrors of state-sponsored cruelty, starting with the U.S. Constitution's Fifth Amendment ban on self-incrimination in 1791, and culminating in the United Nations Convention Against Torture in 1984, ratified by the Clinton administration 10 years later. Then came 9/11. When the Twin Towers collapsed, killing thousands, influential pro-pain pundits promptly repudiated those Enlightenment ideals to argue that torture should become a weapon of choice in George Bush's war on terror. The most persuasive among them, Harvard academics Alan Dershowitz and Michael Ignatieff, advocated giving courts the right to issue so-called torture warrants so that needed information could be prized from unwilling Arabs with steel needles under their fingernails. In their advocacy of torture, these pro-pain professors seemed ignorant of a perverse pathology that allows the practice, once begun, to spread uncontrollably in crisis situations, destroying the legitimacy of the perpetrator nation. But most surprisingly, in their advocacy of torture, these pro-pain professors seemed unaware of a 50-year history of CIA psychological torture that made their modest proposals, as we will see, most dangerous. Viewed historically, the Abu Ghraib scandal is the product of a deeply contradictory U.S. policy toward torture since the start of the Cold War. Publicly, at the United Nations and other international fora, Washington opposed torture and advocated a universal standard for human rights. Simultaneously and secretly, however, the CIA propagated ingenious new torture techniques in contravention of these same international conventions. From 1950 to 1962, the CIA led a research effort to crack the code of human consciousness, a veritable Manhattan Project of the mind, with costs that at peak reached $1 billion a year.